Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Info Edge Q3 results conference call. Joining us on the call today are Mr. Hitesh Oberoi, Managing Director and CEO, Mr. Chintan Thakkar, CFO, and Mr. Sanjeev Bikhchandani, Vice Chairman. As a reminder, all participants' lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Hitesh Oberoi. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Oberoi.
Thank you. Good evening and welcome to our third quarter results conference call. We will first take you through the quarterly financial performance of the company, then we will cover each business in more detail. In the end, we will be happy to take questions. For the standalone company, net sales in Q3 were rupees 173 crores versus rupees 143 crores in Q3 of last year, an increase of 19%. For Q3, operating EBITDA was at 38 crores, having increased 8% YOY and 15% QOQ. Operating EBITDA margin was at 22% versus 25% in Q3 of last year and versus 21% in Q2 of this year. This is mainly due to the increased investment in 99acres, in advertising, in data quality, and our platform. Marketing spend was up slightly in Jeevansathi as well. This is in line with our long-term strategic goals. However, advertising spends in Q3 were far below that of Q2. In this quarter, there is a net negative exceptional item charge of 11.54 crores rupees on account of three things. One, diminution in the investment value in Canberra of rupees 42.6 crores. Total is about 47 crores, of which 4 crores is in a subsidiary. Capital gains of rupees 34 crores on account of gains from the Policybazaar stake transfer, which we had mentioned in our October 2015 call, and a 2.9 crore hit on account of additional provision for bonus for FY 2014-15 due to retrospective amendment to the Payment of Bonus Act 1965. Due to this amendment, there is an additional cost of rupees 2.6 crores in the Q3 wage number as well for the last three quarters. Operating PAT was at 23 crores, up 12% YOY and 29% QOQ. Operating PAT margin was at 13.5% versus 14% in Q3 of last year and versus 10% in Q2 of this year. Tax of 21.7 crores includes 4.5 crores of capital gains tax on account of income from the Policybazaar transaction. Deferred sales revenue was at rupees 173 crores versus 175 crores as on September 30, 2015, a marginal decline, but it is up almost 20% year-on-year from 143 crores as on December 31, 2014. As of December 31, 2015, about rupees 1,030 crores was in bank fixed deposits with interest rates ranging from 7.3%-8% pre-tax. Newer FDs will be made or existing ones renewed are likely to be at lower rates given the general decline in deposit rates. Moving on to business performance by vertical, we will first talk about the recruitment business. Please note that all business-wise numbers that are being given out are as per the segmental reporting, except for the corresponding period in the previous year, which are based on best estimates. As you are aware, we had in Q1 of this year moved to segmental reporting. The numbers are available in the results as also on the data sheet, which is available at infoedge.in. In Q3, recruitment top line grew 19% year-on-year to rupees 129 crores. EBITDA was at 67 crores versus rupees 56 crores in the same quarter of last year. EBITDA margin was at 51%, which is the same as in Q3 of last year. Naukri corporate sales EBITDA margin was at 58% versus 62% in Q2. Due to this, a slight decline is on account of the charge on account of bonus. In Naukri in Q3, we added an average of 10,600 fresh CVs every day versus 9,400 in Q3 of last year, and the Naukri database grew to over 45 million CVs. Average CV modifications were at 163,000 per day versus 124,000 per day in Q3 of last year. In Q3, we serviced 31,000 unique customers versus 27,000 in Q3 of last year. In the 9 months of this year, we serviced 49,000 unique customers versus 43,000 in the 9 months of last financial year. Our products like Zephyl Hiring Manager and CSM continue to do well, new products, and we continue to improve the features and functionalities on our existing platform as well. The Naukri India domestic corporate sales business continues to witness a decent sort of demand pickup, especially in markets in the south, which are growing at a faster rate than the non-IT markets of Mumbai and Delhi. As the economy grows faster, as growth rate picks up going forward, we should witness pickup in the non-IT segments as well. Our traffic share continues to be 70% plus, and our mobile traffic is now close to 60% of our total traffic. Moving on to the 99acres vertical, real estate top line, 99acres top line grew by 13% year-on-year in Q3 to 26 crores, while the market in the southern cities like Bangalore and in the west, like in cities like Pune and Bombay continues to be relatively good. Markets like Noida and Gurgaon seem to have taken a big hit. The EBITDA level loss in 99acres was 20 crores versus 16 crores in the same quarter of last year, but a little slightly less than the 25 crores in the previous quarter. This loss is a result of mainly increased investments in our platform, data quality, and advertising. While we are seeing competitive intensity reduce in this business, we don't expect the market for real estate transactions to recover anytime soon. Like I mentioned, the demand for the real estate continues to be very, very depressed, especially in markets like Noida, Gurgaon. Markets in the west are relatively better off. Transactions are down year-on-year in most markets. New launches in many markets are down 50 to 60%. And unsold inventory at current sale rates in most cities is averaging between 2 to 4 years. In Jeevan Sathi, which is our matrimony business, net sales grew 20% year-on-year in Q3 to 11.7 crores. We added an average of 2,241 profiles per day in Q3 and an increase of 20% year-on-year. Paid customers were at 37,435, which this number is up 36% year-on-year. And EBITDA level loss in Q3 was at 2 crores versus 92 lakhs in Q3 of last year. In the Shiksha or the education business, net sales grew 41% year-on-year and reached 6.4 crores. EBITDA level losses in Shiksha were at 2 crores versus 2.6 crores in Q3 of last year. Our investing companies also continue to witness growth. During Q3, we invested in an additional rupees 15 crores in Canvara at a pre-money company valuation of rupees 75 crores. Our stake in Canvara as a result of this infusion is now at 49%. We also made a new investment of rupees 7.4 crores in a company called Rare Media and acquired a 35% stake. It's an early-stage company looking to develop mobile-based applications. The total amount invested in investing companies as of January 20th, 2016 is now rupees 797 crores. The only note of caution here is that our shareholding in these companies could vary given certain conditions in our shareholder agreements. Further, such shareholding may or may not translate into an equivalent realization on a company being sold or happening of a liquidation event given the clauses in the various agreements. Additional funding by existing investing companies may be required from time to time, and we will evaluate each one on its own merit. We also continue to evaluate new investment opportunities. Excuse me. To summarize, our competitive position in Naukri continues to be strong, driven by improvements in product and our continuous focus on client needs. We will continue to invest more aggressively in this business, mainly in areas like product development, to strengthen our leadership position. As and when the economy gets better, we expect more and more jobs to open up in various non-IT sectors as well. The underlying real estate market is in a slump in most cities. Competitive intensity has decreased a bit, but given the acquisition of Common Floor by Quikr and a fresh infusion of funds in housing, we remain cautious and we will react to the competitive situation every quarter. We remain committed to this market and will continue to invest more in this business. In 99acres, we are likely to continue to spend, but probably not as aggressively as we did in H1. Our strategic objective is to be the largest and most profitable player in this space. Our mobile apps and sites continue to witness improved traction, with more and more users accessing our sites through them. We are now ready for any questions that you may have. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. An operator will take your name and announce your turn in the question queue. Participants are requested to only use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question from the line of Sachin Salgaonkar from Bank of America. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for the opportunity. I have three questions. First question is on Naukri unique customer numbers appears to have declined a bit, on a QOQ basis. Just want to understand your thoughts and how we should look at it going forward.
Yeah, I think a fairer comparison is more a year-on-year comparison because Q3 is seasonally a weak quarter for us. So on, if you compare to compare with last year, the numbers have grown both for the quarter and for the year two, for the first three quarters as a whole.
Okay, got it. Second question, I mean, your selling and marketing expenses have been, down in this quarter, and I presume that has more to do with how competition is there in real estate. And, I understand your comments. So, just taking from where you left in terms of your comment that, you will continue to spend not as aggressively in second half as in first half, does that mean that margin might continue to improve in second half?
That's our current thinking because we're not seeing as much competitive activity as we saw in the first half of this year. However, one doesn't know what competition is going to do in the next two or three months. And, our long-term strategic goals are clear that we want to be a leader and we want to dominate this space. So if competitive intensity picks up once again, we'll be forced to respond. But yes, as of now, we don't have plans to be very, very aggressive in this space.
Okay.
On the marketing front.
Okay. And my last question is, when we look at your quarter, clearly employee cost and admin cost have increased on a YOY basis. We got an explanation on employee cost. How should we look at the admin cost expense and, in terms of how we should look at both these items going in future, that would also be helpful.
Admin costs are more sort of correlated to employee headcount. So they normally increase in line with employee headcount.
Okay. And this entire 2.6 crore increase in wage number is everything in employee cost? A part of that is also in admin?
So this is all an employee cost.
Okay, and admin, the increase is related to that only.
So admin cost is usually, if you want to kind of correlate, with the number of headcount, you'll be able to get an understanding of that.
Okay, got it. And how should we look at these numbers going in forward on a growth basis?
Well, headcount, our headcount has, remained the same for the last almost 2, 3, 4 months now. We don't expect a major increase in headcount this year, but we haven't done our planning for next year as yet. So we'll know only, as far as next year is concerned, we know only after a few months. But this year we don't expect the numbers to go up substantially. We do a little bit of campus hiring at this time of the year, and these people end up joining us around March or April. So there may be a slight increase, but that's that happens every year.
Okay.
At this time, yeah.
All the best for future. Thanks, bye.
Thank you. Next question from line of Sandeep Agarwal from Edelweiss. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for taking my question and happy New Year to the management team. Sanjeev, I have a couple of questions on the business. So core business is doing extremely well, and we are also seeing some traction now in our 99 acres, Jeevan Sathi, Siksha and other businesses. But if you see the kind of hit we are taking on our earnings, basically because of investment, and that is largely driven in the newer companies by the competition, what is their action and all that, and we have to respond. So the net PAT which we take home in a year is slightly, having a big impact on that. So where do you see these things kind of stabilizing, or you will still, your response will be more according to the competition action? What is your thought process there?
So I think, if you look at an investing company portfolio and look at the environment, I think things have changed substantially in the venture funding, private company funding market in India since the beginning of August. So clearly companies are having to, and including competitor companies, investing companies, are having to make a pivot towards revenue, profitability, margin, and we think that's healthy. That's healthy for our investing companies, that's healthy for the industry. It's also healthy for the investors, including us. So we expect that, the worst is over in terms of how much companies will burn on a month-on-month basis. As they try and go towards profitability. Having said that, it will take about, this financial year will be a heavy bleed in our investing companies because this year, for a large part of it, companies were investing and spending heavily. I think over the next 6 to 9 months, you will see companies, clawing their way to perhaps lower losses and, possibly even break even in about maybe 12 to 24 months, some of them. So, this financial year, there will be a heavy bleed in the investing company's portfolio. Hopefully, it should be lower next year, and certainly it will be lower the year after next.
Okay. Thank you. That's all from my side.
Thank you. Next question is from line of Gaurav Marhotra from Citigroup. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. Just a couple of questions. Firstly, on the wage increase, you mentioned 2.6 crores. So this is not going to be more of a recurring kind of a number going forward. Is that correct?
Yeah, so the government has increased the amount of bonus that we are supposed to pay to employees who earn a certain basic salary. But what is going to happen in the long run is that, you see, we, as far as we are concerned, we look at CTC, and we are just hoping that if some of these, if we are sort of, hopefully the wage sort of increases next year will be lower, because we are paying a higher bonus. But, one will have to be competitive in the market, so a lot will be determined by what salaries in the market are like. But, this is going to be a permanent expense.
Okay. Now, the next question, on what Sajeev mentioned, that, the funding market for the private companies has started to, come under stress. So, obviously, we are going to see lower competitive intensity, companies pivoting towards revenue and focusing on profits. But it also means that there's a risk that your investee companies could sort of start reducing in value, and then you'll having to take write-offs. For the private companies in general, how far are we away from that kind of an event from starting to happen?
Well, it has to be looked at case-by-case basis. Certainly companies where the unit economics are bad and they need more money, investors will be able to drive a harder bargain, and that's a reality. Now, we've already taken a write-down in Canberra, as you have noticed this year, because the next round that went in was put in by us itself, us only. We had gone at a lower valuation. The way we look at it, we look at company fundamentals and performance and how much cash is going in to achieve that performance, right? Now, if a valuation is diminished, but the company fundamentals are okay, that's an external occurrence given, valuation given by the market. But as long as the company in fundamentals is growing in revenue and moving towards profit, we believe ultimately valuation will come back in the long run. Because markets may go up, markets may go down. As long as your business is sound, it's okay.
Okay, cool. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from line of Pankaj Rudra from CLSA. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks. I had three questions. Firstly, on Naukri, I noticed that your deferred sales has been somewhat flattish for the last three quarters since March 15. And I guess a lot of the FY17 growth from here appears to be reliant on a very strong March quarter this time as well. Now, given the strength so far in the demand environment being limited to the IT-led market, like you said, the non-IT markets are not really doing that well. Are you concerned that Naukri growth momentum might slow in the next few quarters?
Well, so far so good. We've now been growing at 15-20% for the last 4 or 5 quarters now. And of course, yes, IT markets have been doing well. But even last quarter was very good for IT. And even markets like Bombay are now beginning to do well. I mean, they're not growing as fast as markets in the Bombay is not growing as fast as the South. But we are getting 15-18% growth in Mumbai as well. So one is hopeful that as the financial services sector picks up next year with new sort of licenses being given out for payment banks, as the infra sector picks up, then the non-IT markets will also start doing well. Could IT slow down? One doesn't know. One can't be sure. But, so far so good.
But, broadly, more in terms of deferred sales, are you concerned that there will be a tough comparable coming up in March because you had a very strong quarter last year? And, you know, maintaining the growth rate requires a very big number this time.
So one should be looking at, you know, our number should be compared to the same time last year and not on a Q-on-Q basis, because there are variations between quarters. There is a seasonality element. Also, you must remember that what happened in the last quarter of last year was that there was a service tax increase, as a result of which we got, some collections got preponed, and deferred sales went up as a result of that. So, you know, I think if you look at revenue, revenue growth has been 18, 19, 20% for the last 4 or 5 quarters, and, you know, we are hoping to sustain that. But let's see what happens.
Okay. Secondly, the bonus impact, sorry to belabor on this point, but I'm assuming this is mainly for lower wage admin staff and as opposed to the broader sales and tech talent. Is that correct?
Well, it's for people whose basic is below a certain number. We've been told to pay a stat bonus to these people, and with retrospective effects, so we have to pay a bonus for last year as well. And, you know, this bonus has now gone up, so it has to be paid every year.
Okay, and just lastly on, you know, the point you made about 99 acres and real estate, I think broadly if you look at, you know, horizontal firms such as Quikr appear to be making a pivot towards verticals, especially towards real estate. Do you think that changes the game somewhat for you in real estate in particular, and perhaps in future other verticals also?
So, you know, it's still very early days. They've just announced it. Quikr has just announced the pivot. They've acquired Common Floor. Common Floor was, of course, a weak number three player in the real estate market. And they were strong only in Bangalore. One doesn't know what the game plan is, whether the site will be integrated, whether two brands will be continued, or whether, there will be one brand. Globally, real estate sites have sort of, wherever there are real estate sites competing with general classified sites, you know, the real estate sites are one, because the general classified sites are actually supposed to be general classified sites and not real estate sites. And it's very hard to sort of, do the kind of deep work we are doing on the platform on a general classified site. Normally verticals have always won. Yes, for low-end sort of rentals, general classified sites are used all over the world, but that's not a large part of our business. We don't expect to get a lot of revenue from low-end rentals. So you know, still early days, but we are confident that, ultimately users who are looking to buy a very high-involvement product like real estate would want to go to a specialized site.
Understand. Thank you. Best of luck.
Yeah.
Thank you. Next question from line of Gaurav Malhotra, Citigroup. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Just one follow-up question on 99 acres. I didn't get the numbers on what's your traffic share as well as the percentage of traffic coming on mobile.
Yeah, so our sort of, as measured by Comscore, our traffic share for the last 2 or 3 months has been averaging about 42-43%, which is about 40-50% higher than the, our closest competitor. But that traffic share as measured by Comscore. Our mobile traffic is close to 50% of our total sort of mobile sessions are about 45-50% of our total sessions. But I will sort of I don't have the updated the sort of latest number with me right now, but we can update you separately. Yeah,
I'll be updating the investor book tomorrow sometime on the site. You can get it from there. But this is the range.
Okay.
Thank you. The next question is from line of Arya Sen from Jefferies. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good evening, everyone. Firstly, could you talk a little bit about the company that you invested in, Rare Media, and how much stake did you get for 7.4 crores? Is that right?
So we've got 35% of the company. Now, this is a company that's making, in the business of making mobile apps. Especially in the area of B2B sales force management and other areas. And really, we've invested in this company because there's a certain sort of dependency that 99 Acres has on this company, because the apps and the application or the stuff that 99 Acres uses for management of its data verification force and data operation is using this product. So we want this company to be financially stable and viable. Continue to develop products which improve the products that 99 Acres is using. We need to be able to sort of have enough influence on this company so that they are able to, align their products along with what 99 Acres needs. So really this is actually an operation which 99 Acres depends upon for some of its work. And therefore, we've done it for that reason, as opposed to a regular financial investment where we are seeking an exit in, you know, X amount of time and, you know, it's a consumer internet company. This is not a consumer internet company in that sense.
Right. Secondly, on Zomato, you know, last time Dipinder shared that, you know, now there's going to be more of a focus on monetization and revenues. Any update that you can share on that, particularly, you know, on the traction on online ordering?
Well, you know, so online ordering actually is a very small fraction of the business. The main business is the traditional model, which is, you know, advertising by restaurants and therefore, you know, search and discovery of restaurants. And it is a ramp up in that revenue that is going to help the Zomato achieve break even, and not the ramp up in revenue in the next 12 to 18 months in the online ordering piece. The online ordering piece, you know, is doing well. You know, when you, you know, take, the great advantage that Zomato has is that it does not have a high cost of customer acquisition, because it really is monetizing, you know, it's getting transactions from its existing traffic, which is not, it's not really paying for. They come to Zomato anyway. And I think that's a big difference between Zomato and the other online ordering platforms. The second is the commercial practices followed by Zomato. We, you know, they are prudent. They don't give discounts and they don't sell below variable costs. They don't subsidize the online orders. And I think both of these are making the Zomato operation more sustainable. Lower cost of customer acquisition plus no discounting or very little discounting and, you know, higher gross margins. And one other feature of Zomato, from what we understand, is that their average bill or their ticket size is higher than other players in the online ordering space, leading us to believe that this is a much healthier business, online ordering business, than other online ordering businesses. But having said that, it is a small part of Zomato's business, and really Zomato's push to break even, push to revenue ramp up, is going to come from the traditional model of online of advertising by restaurants.
And Dipinder had mentioned, you know, revenue growth target of about, you know, doubling of revenues in FY16 over FY15. I mean, is that are we still sticking to that? And, you know,
there are still 3 months left. You know, Jan numbers are not in yet. There are still 3 months left for this financial year. But thus far, at least, we have no significant deviation to report from that target.
But given the kind of spend Zomato has made in the past, I mean, you think just doubling of revenues is good enough to sort of move towards break-even? Because, I mean...
They're not going to break-even by March 16, certainly not. Right? So it will obviously have to be, you know, in the next financial year, and how revenue moves then, that will tell us how fast they're going to break-even. But the plan, they have a credible plan in place. They're working according to a plan, and thus far, at least, the results are tracking according to the plan. We have reason to believe that they will break even in a not very distant future.
And would that involve some rationalizing of costs as well, or?
So I think the cost rationalization, by and large, has been done between, you know, August and I think November, December. Most costs that need to be rationalized have been rationalized, right? Now the drive towards, and there has been significant revenue ramp up as well. You know, since August, right? Now the next phase of cutting the burn and going towards break-even will come more from revenue ramp-up than cost rationalization.
Right. And lastly, I mean, historically, I mean, so it looks like you have, I mean, in the last round at least, you've not invested any more in Zomato. You're also talking of possibly lesser investment now required in 99acres. And historically, if I see, you know, you've mostly invested in classifieds or, you know, companies where you may have some, you know, some sort of technology leverage or something that, you know, comes back to Info Edge. I mean, what is the, you know, path forward for your investments? Is there, you know, are you now beginning to look at other sort of segments? How does it go forward from here? Because
we've invested
your next big investments.
Well, in the last 7-8 years since you've been investing, you know, we have invested in a very diverse range of companies. It's not just been limited to classifieds or or one or two sectors alone. We are now getting to a point where, you know, we have got to a point where we are converging and focusing. So, for example, we are reluctant to do e-commerce, although we have done Happily and Married, and that's tracking well, and we continue to support that. But other than that, we are most likely going to stay away from e-commerce. We had done 99 labels earlier, if you recall. We like the information arbitrage businesses. We like businesses that will, have some technology, build on IP. We like classified businesses. We like businesses where we enable handshakes. We don't like businesses where we carry inventory, and so on. So there are patterns that we sort of, we sort of follow. But having said that, if it's a good management team, good company scaling up well, good gross margins, high operating leverage, marketed in its space, we would look at it, whether or not we have an internal competency in that area or not.
And would you look at entering a company at a much later stage or, because mostly you have entered at fairly early stages, right?
So we did do Canberra, after Series A, where we entered after Series A. But other than Canberra, I don't think we've done a single company where we were not there in the first round, right? So we always entered the first round. We may have backed in, the second, third, fourth rounds, but we have always been there in the first round. I think we will stay with that by and large, because given where valuations are for Series B, C, and D, even though, they may be correcting now, but it's still not as if they're cheap, we are unlikely to be, given our size of balance sheet, we are unlikely to be sort of going in Series C or something. Unless there's a very good reason, and we haven't found any so far.
Okay, thanks a lot. That's all from my side.
Thank you. Next question from the line of Ashish Chopra from Motilal Oswal Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. Just one question, if you could just elaborate a little bit more on the diminution provision for Canberra in terms of what exactly went wrong with that business. Was it the growth, or do you think that the investments or the burn required to grow from here would be much higher? Any color on that would be helpful.
So Canberra, the investment that we have done is actually not a very big amount. It's about 15 crore kind of additional investment that we have done. Having said that, there are other financial investors as well. Given the fact that we are the one who are investing and the others are not, we have negotiated the deal very well. The management has changed. We have new CEO also who's now taking care of the company. He's joined from June. And there is a kind of a little bit of emphasis on building technology platform for aggregating the photographers, for aggregating all the photographers, So there is an investment happening in the company. And since we are the only one who's kind of investing and guiding the company, we have got a good deal at a good valuation. On the flip side, since we have done the value, we have done a good deal, we had to kind of take this impairment in our books of accounts. And that's the consequence of the investment that we have made. We also believe that if there are any pain points in any investee company, it's much better to take it upfront. And hence, immediately after having done the investment, we have chosen to take the impairment.
Got it. That's helpful. And just one more from my side. So as a follow-up on the previous question, so you did mention that you've not been incrementally now investing in Zomato. But just to get a sense on, is there a likelihood of any of your other investee companies coming up with a bigger need for capital and also, you being ready to back them potentially? Could Mairala be one such investee company, maybe given the scale at which it is operating right now, or any other company that you think?
So we remain open to supporting any and every one of our investee companies where we believe there's a good business case, where we believe that we'll get a good return on our capital. But having said that, obviously we'll evaluate on a case-by-case basis. And yes, given the size of our balance sheet and if we expect very large funding requirements, capital requirements in our investing companies going forward, we would be definitely looking positively upon other investors coming in as well into many of our companies, as they have in Policy Bazaar, as they have in Zomato, and that's where we are already. So we have an open mind. No blanket yes, no blanket no. But we also are conscious of the fact that we have a smaller balance sheet compared to some of the other investors, their size of funds.
Right. Got it. Thanks. That's it from my side. All the best.
Thank you. Next question from line of Alec Dalal from 130 Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. If I look at the internal cash accruals relative to what you're able to put out in terms of new investments, it seems like, you know, the internal cash accruals themselves are fairly fairly high and well in excess of what you're able to put out. So how do you think about that vis-a-vis the cash balance that exists and capital allocation?
Sorry, I didn't get the question. Can you come again?
So your internal cash accruals are, say, you know, 40-50 crores a quarter, and you're not able to spend that money in terms of investing in new platforms. At the same time, you've got a pretty large cash balance sitting on the balance sheet. So how do you think about this cash balance and distributing it to shareholders or doing something else with it?
So as you know, when we raised money last year, we told shareholders that about 750 crore that we raised is a kind of a war chest, you know. And as you know that the real estate game is still on, you know. So we would want to keep that kind of reserve with us because we might require that kind of money as a war chest. Now, if you take 750 crores out of our roughly about 1100 crores that we have, that leaves us, you know, with something like 350 crore. If you look at our balance sheet, we receive money in advance, you know, from our customers. And if you look at the deferral sales revenue that we have, it's almost like about 125 crore. So if you take that out, because that's an actual advance that we have received from customer, so we would again want to keep that kind of reserve. Then we are left with, so it's almost like another, 150, 200 crore. Given our commitments to the existing investment kind of companies, you know, where we have invested, and also our desire to continue to invest wherever we get good opportunity in any of the, you know, new investment opportunities that may come across, I think we would require this kind of, you know, balance sheet size, you know, cash balance on our balance sheet.
Okay.
Thank you. Next question from the line of Miten Lathia from HDFC. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening. As you sort of traveled through the year in the current fiscal, have the activity on the recruitment side improved, worsened, or stayed flat?
Well, you know, our sense is that it's been flattish, but we are seeing some green shoots in markets like Bombay, which were, sort of not growing as fast as the rest of the country earlier. Delhi continues to be a bit of a drag. The South continues to be strong. So, you know, it's not changed too much.
Sure. Thank you very much.
Thank you. We have the next question from line of Pankaj Rudra from CLSC. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks. This is Ankur Rudra. I have a broader question, you know, about your portfolio companies, especially as you announced the environment for internet companies has probably become a bit weaker. Companies are focusing on refocusing on where they invest in, and you might see valuations correct somewhat. So I'm guessing, you know, you and your other investors in your portfolio have liquidation preferences to protect you against downside. Down rounds, let's say. As this happens in portfolio firms beyond Canvera, is there a risk of keeping less skin in the game for founders and employees, and hence it's sort of a double-edged sword to get a better valuation for yourselves?
Sorry, could you repeat the question? I didn't fully comprehend it.
So the question is about, you know, if we if the environment needs going ahead down rounds in many of your portfolio companies, I'm guessing InfoEdge and other co-investors in these companies have liquidation preferences to protect yourself against valuation declines. So when you enforce that, is that a double-edged sword in terms of keeping too less skin in the game for founders and employees of these companies who have equity in the firm?
We are very clear. Successful businesses and companies are built by good entrepreneurs. And any entrepreneur who's being under-rewarded, I think it puts the entire company and everybody's investment at risk. So we believe it is really important that entrepreneurs have enough skin in the game and they have enough ownership.
Okay, that's all from my side. Thanks.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, as there are no further questions, I now hand the conference over to Mr. Hitesh Oberoi for closing comments. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, everyone, for being on the call, and have a great evening.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Info Edge, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.